It's good to be here. As Thomas said, my name is Simpson. Most people know me as Simo. I'm married to Mel. I have four princesses, and I have a prince. Yeah. They are lovely, aren't they? Yeah. My church life. So I started off in a Pentecostal. You've got to remember this bit for later on. Started off in a Pentecostal background. Pentecostal background in Oxford. Well, in Liverpool, then we moved to Oxford. And then I moved down to Sussex and went to a church fellowship in Cowfold, then moved to Henfield, then God brought me to Chichester, and now we've planted into Bognor. And it's just been fantastic seeing God move in powerful ways. We've had great times, challenging times, but always seeing God, you know, victorious in it. I've been involved in youth work, quite a bit of youth work, whether it be leading a team, whether it be helping out on youth teams. But my main passion and the main thing that I've been involved in is worship, and whether it be leading teams, leading worship church teams, or being involved in the music teams or doing conferences. That's what my passion is, and that's what I've been involved in over the years. Just one quick plug. We have the privilege to be going down to West Point to be leading the worship on a Saturday and Sunday. And if you haven't booked in, don't book in just because we're going to be leading worship. Book in because, you know, it's the church family. It's the commission church family. And I just really believe that God's going to do some amazing things down there. God's going to move in a powerful way. If you're thinking about it, stop thinking about it and get on and book in. That's my little plug for West Point. Last week, we started a new series entitled Summer of Psalms. If you were with us last year, you would have been treated to some fantastic talks, some fantastic preaches by some of the guys. Obviously, Tom spoke last year, Chris Kimbangi spoke last year, but this year, you have me, myself, and I thrown into the mix. So I'm hoping that that excites you. The title of my talk is Worshipping in Song and in Our Lives. Worshipping in Song and in Our Lives. What I want to do, I want to speak from Psalms 145. Psalms 145. What I also want to do is pull out three points from them, bring application, and then we want to respond in worship. That's what our response wants to be, to respond to what we've heard in worship. I want you to capture a little bit of my heart, a little bit of my passion, and my experiences and testimonies of living a lifestyle of worship. I think that's important. So, yeah, we're going to look at Psalms 145. If anyone hasn't got a Bible, they would like to raise their hands, and a Bible will arrive in your hands promptly. Everyone's got Bibles this morning. There's one over here, Bible. There's a couple over there. If you don't own one, please feel free to accept it as a gift from our church to you. Okay, Psalms 145. It's a hymn of praise. It's written by David. Psalms 145 is also classified as an individual hymn of praise. Also, the like other psalms is Psalms 23, Psalms 87, Psalms 139, you know, Psalm individual hymn of praises to God, written by David. Psalms 145 is also an acrostic poem, the verses of which begin with the successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Acrostic poems were used, one, to help people memorize the Psalms, and the scripture, all the scripture passages. And two, it's because it encompasses everything. It's like saying, Jesus is my all in all. It's like saying, Jesus, he's the A to Z. He's my everything. And that's why they were used to let people understand them. I learned about that. I know you're thinking, wow, that's great knowledge. That is, I've never, well, let me tell you, to be honest, me and Andy Nichols Sr. Can't see Andy Nichols Sr. Where's Andy Nichols Sr.? All right, he's out. Andy Nichols Sr. on a commission. There he is. We're on a commission training course. So it's a leadership training course down in Bournemouth. Every sort of once a month, Friday and a Saturday, we go down and we do training. And it's for leaders, those who feel they're calling to leadership, those who feel that they want to know more and dig deeper into leadership. And that's what it's for. And we've been having a fantastic time. And that's where I first came across acrostics. And it's a great course run by our commission churches. And we go down to Bournemouth. The likes of Chris Kimbangi, the likes of Joe Leach. I know someone else is going down as well. Thomas has done the course. Our very own Steve's done the course years ago. And the likes of Dave Thompson's done it as well. So it's a really great course to do. And that's where we pick up a lot of just knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of leadership. And I would suggest if anyone's really interested in that, speak to Darren Forsdyke or speak to one of the elders to get more, or speak to someone who's actually on it to get more info about it. But let's read Psalms 145. Okay? I'm going to break it up a little bit, but let's read, take what verses 1 to 7 first of all. So it goes, I will extol you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I'll bless you and praise your name forever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall command your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. It's important to note, in the first seven verses, David magnifies the Lord for his greatness and his righteousness. He you can sense, as David is penning that, as he's writing that, he's almost praising God. You can feel his emotion. I will extol you, my God and King. Every day, I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. One generation shall commend your work to another. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, I will meditate. I will declare your greatness. You see how David offers up his praise. You see how David just magnifies and just glorifies God for who he is, for his splendor, for what God has done. It doesn't go amiss. That's the start of him penning this. That's the start. Pours out his praise. How many of us in the morning get up and just rush on with our day? Just get on with life. Not David. Pours out his praise. He recognizes God is God. And he's worthy to be praised. Let's read on. Verse 8 to 13 says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall be blessed. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. David gives praise for his goodness and everlasting kingdom. For his goodness and his everlasting kingdom. For what God's done in his life and for the kingdom that is God's. It's his kingdom. God created it. And David doesn't want that to go amiss. He doesn't want that to pass him by. He wants to let God know, look, God, I'm giving you thanks and praise for your goodness to me and for your kingdom, for the earth that you created. Let's read on. 14:16 says, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hands. You satisfy the desires of every living thing. David gives praise to God for his care and providence over all. So many of us have got testimonies in this place of God's care towards us, his providence, the way that God's provided for us over years. That doesn't go amiss in David. With David. David's sin throughout his life. God care, watching over, God's protection, God providing for him daily. David wants to offer up praise. David wants to let people know that, you know what? God's care and his providence. I want to give God thanks for that. And he does. The Lord upholds all who are fallen, gives them their food in due season. You satisfy the desire every living thing. That's the God that we serve. 17-21. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cries and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him. But all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Finally, David gives God praise for his saving grace and righteousness. That's something a lot of us can give testimony to. God's saving grace and his righteousness. It's he alone that saves. You can't save yourself. God save me. God save many of you. David wants to make that known. God, your saving grace. Says he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cries. And he saves them. That's the God that we serve. So, tight worshipping in song and in our lives. Our lives need to reflect what we sing about. In worship to God. You know, that's been sort of like my motto for years. You know, we need to live out what we're singing about. So, the three quick points to look at. Three quick points. Let's praise God for he is great and glorious. Number two, God is worthy to be praised. And number three, our God saves and he's faithful to all. Let's take first point. Let's praise God. For he is great and glorious. He is what?
Glorious.
You can do better than that. He's what?
Glorious.
Praise God, for he is great and glorious. The Psalms are full of giving praise to God because he, and only he, is great and glorious. He and only he is great and glorious. I can testify to that. Just in the last year, many of you will know that me and my family are looking to move to Stenning. And we thought that God was speaking to our hearts about upping and moving. So, you know, I done it in the right way. Went to the elders, spoke to them, and they were saying, like, yeah, okay, you know, we'll pray with you in that, and if you feel it's right, then we'll bless you in that. And they were really good, really prayerful. But doesn't mean Mel felt like maybe God's stirring our hearts about moving back to where we came from. But Stenning Way, it's about 45 minutes from here. And so I laid down my responsibilities within church. But I was still here and I was still offering to serve. But I laid down my responsibilities. And we also were looking to see what doors God was opening. So we were trying to move house, and we were just knocking on every avenue that possibly came up that we thought came up. But every door we knocked on, every door we pushed, every door we thought, yeah, this could be it, God just kept shut. God just kept shut. Every school that we tried to get our girls in, just full. It was really just full up. And it just became almost like a tug of war between us and God. I said, God, what are you doing? You know, we feel this, and just nothing was happening. And we then said, you know what, God, maybe you want us to stay. Maybe it's your will and your purpose for us as a family to stay and serve Bognor. That's where you want us to be. Because we never considered that. We had in our mindset that it was going to be Stenning. God was obviously doing stuff there. Not that he wasn't doing stuff here, but we just maybe felt a little stirring. And it wasn't until we said, okay, God, you know what? We're going to lay it down. We're going to lay this down and say, we will serve you wherever you want us. Now, if that's Bognor, if that's Chichester, if that's Stenning, you make it known to us. Yeah. And it wasn't until we sort of like said, right, we are going to look to remain here. We're going to look to remain here at Bognor and serve in every way that God wants us to serve him. As soon as we prayed about it as a family and laid it down and said, God, here we are for you. We're here. God started to open doors. God started to open doors in Bognor. And we moved into a lovely house. The girls' school, they just started to be more settled in their school. I mean, the awards that Jolie and Alicia won this year alone, you know, is a testament to them, but in a way to say, look, they're settled, you know. They're settled in the friendships that they're building. You know, we had another child, you know, a boy. That's a blessing in itself. And God was just moving. My business, I remember Steve saying to me, must have been about 18 months ago, before they even decided that we may be moving on. He said to me this. He said, look, I believe your business, he was praying for me, and he said, I believe your business is going to grow. I never took that into consideration until we decided to lay everything down and say, we surrender to you everything, business, everything. In the space of laying everything down, in the space of probably 6 weeks, my business grew from me and one bloke to me and five blokes. And just getting more and more work. Mel doesn't have to work. God had taken us out of debt. You know, and that is just God just being glorious and blessing obedience. I've got no problem in holding my hands up and saying, you know what? We get it wrong. We get it wrong. I get it wrong at times. But when we surrender to God and say, God, you know what? Yeah. It's your will. It's your way. I walk in your will and your way. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. That's because he, and only he, is great and glorious. The simple fact that we have breath, that we have food, shelter, are just three reasons to give God thanks. Too many times we take that for granted. These things are just a given. Let's praise God, because he is great and glorious. Point number two, God is worthy to be praised. So let's praise him and teach our children and others to praise him. It's God's worship. Sis, it's all for him. And if we get it right, if we get that right within our hearts, even though when tough times come, and I say when because they will come, when tough times come, God will deliver you because his presence remains. David says, where can I go from your presence when tough times come? God's for you because he's worthy. It says this in Psalms 145 verse 12. It says, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Let's not ignore the importance as well of teaching our children to worship God through all situations, not just some, all situations. The most important legacy that we can leave for our children is a legacy of Jesus. To know the Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. To know him as Lord and Savior. When I was growing up, my dad used to get us up in the morning at 6 o'clock every morning. I mean, I didn't know at 11 years old 6 o'clock existed. But my dad used to get that. I've got 7 sisters and 2 brothers. All right. But there was 5 sisters and me and my brother living in the house. So there was 9 of us, including my mum and dad. And he used to get us up in the morning for devotion at 6 o'clock every single morning. Trundle downstairs, so tired. Now, it didn't matter whether it was the summer holidays or not. We were still getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I hated it with a passion. I hated it. Every bit of me hated it. Trundling downstairs, whether it be winter, summer, trundling downstairs in the morning. And the way he'd keep us awake is he'd pick a scripture, a long scripture passage, a long one. And we'd all have to read chunks, go round one by one, reading chunks of this passage of scripture. And then we'd all have to pray. We weren't going to sleep at all. And then there were times that he would say, right, what did that mean to you? Now, if you were sleeping, you couldn't, well, you know what I mean? My dad, so it was hard. But I tell you what it did. Even though I hated it, it built something within me. It built a foundation of who God was. It built a foundation of what it was to call on God in times of trouble. Even though I hated it, all my sisters and brothers that did that, the 7 of us that did that, are all going on for God in a powerful way. Don't ignore the legacy that you leave for your kids. Me and my kids, me and Mel, my wife, and the children, Mel's got this saying that if you come to our house, you're not leaving without being prayed at. So you can come all you like, but you're getting prayed out. And there's times that even non-Christians will come in and we'll chill with them and all that. And Mel will go, oh, can we pray for you? And you can see the kids cringing. Uh-oh, what are they thinking? You know? But there's times where we'll, you know, every day we'll pray. Yeah, we'll pray. Together. You know, there's times we'll have a worship time. We'll have a worship time together. We'll get the guitar, the girls will sing, we'll read passages of scripture together as a family. My kids, you know, I'm not saying my kids are the best, you know, they're naughty as they come at times. Alright? You know, I still have to discipline them in ways, but they know what it is to worship. They know what it is to call on the Savior. They know what it is to pray. To understand the Bible. To understand who God is. And through situations as a family, through things that we've been through, through difficult times we've been through as a family, we've all got together. There's times that Jolie will go, let's pray. There's times that George will go, oh, can we pray for this? Let's pray for this. What kind of legacy are you leaving for your children? What steps will you take in worshipping as a family? It could be a single parent. It could be a family together. What steps will you take? Listen, my dad's way wasn't the right way. I'd never suggest that to anybody. Don't do it that way. But I'd never say that our way is the right way, but that's what works for us. That's what works for our family. I would say, what do you do? What do you do? If nothing, then I challenge you, even today, to chat about it over lunch or at a time that suits the family. And think of ways in which you can bring worship into the family, especially with your children. That could be praying together, going through Bible passages, or even worshiping in song. I challenge you to find out what will work for you and the family. My dad used to say this. It's better to bring some exhortation to God than none. It's better to bring some than none. And that stuck with me, that did. I just want to pray at this point. I want to pray at this point, just for those who may be in a situation where they could be struggling with their family, struggling to bring devotion in, struggling to even pray, or bring Bible passages, or even talk as a family when it comes to God issues, God situation. And those who are doing it already but want to do more, I just feel to pray at this point. So, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for who you are. Thank you that you love family. You love children. Father God, you created them. Created family for a reason, for purpose. Oh God, and what a wonderful thing it is to just worship and adore you. What a wonderful thing it is to praise you, Father God, not just as individuals, but as family. What a powerful thing. And Lord, I pray for those who may be struggling with that, to get together as a family, as a whole. So have even 10 minutes, 5 minutes, just praying and just a little word or just calling on your name. Lord, I pray now, Lord Jesus, that within our hearts now, Lord Jesus, we'll find ways in which to bring you devotion. We'll find ways in which to worship you more with our families, with our children. We thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're cementing in our hearts. I pray that you would stir that up, Lord Jesus. As we give you thanks and praise. Thank you for what you've already done and what you're continually going to do. Oh God, in families. In your name. Amen. 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 Point number 3. Our God saves and he is faithful to all. Many of you have got testimonies of God's saving power. He fulfills, Psalms 145:19 says, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. To all who call on him in truth, he hears their cries and he rescues them. That's what God did for me. That's what God did for me. That's what God did for many of you. He heard your cry. He stepped in. And he rescued you. He rescued you. That's what our God does. We need to be people. We need to be a church that are pointing people towards Jesus Christ. Pointing our neighbours. Pointing our friends who don't know him. To the God that saves. Point them towards this eternal perspective. Of a loving Father who knows all things and he is for them. That's who we need to be pointing people. Not looking around and seeing, oh, what he's doing or what she, What's God doing in you? What's God doing in you? What's God doing in you? What's God saying to you? Let's point people towards eternal Father in heaven, the God that saves and rescues. So questions. Why do I need to worship God? I hear you asking. Why do I need to worship God? Worship means to give honor, homage, reverence, respect, adoration, praise, and glory to our Heavenly Father. God demands worship because He and He alone is worthy of it. He's the only being that truly deserves worship. He requests that we acknowledge His greatness, His power, and His glory. Revelation 4 tells us, you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. Exodus 20 verse 3 to 5 speaks about not worshipping anything else, and that He's a jealous God. It says, no other God before. Now, what that means is not just no other God before. It means no other God before, behind, beside, in front of, no other God at all. No other God. But He alone. No other God. God expects us to worship Him as an expression of reverence and thanksgiving. But God wants even more than that. God expects us to be obedient. Not only love Him, but act justly, to show love and compassion to others, to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. Romans 12 verse 1. This glorifies God and is our reason to worship. It's our reason to worship. When I first came down here, remember I said to you, I'm from a black Pentecostal, or I said Pentecostal background. The church that I grew up in Liverpool and went to in Oxford, was a black Pentecostal background. They knew how to clap in time. They knew how to dance. They knew what rhythm was. Legalistic in some ways, but yeah, that's the background that I grew up in. Now, I came down here, and I used to go home every weekend, because I never knew there was a church down here. I'd never been used to anything else but Oxford, so I used to travel from Cowfold to Oxford every weekend to go to church. One day during the week, there was a knock on the door, and it was one of my father figures who, you know, is a father figure to me even now because of the things that he's done in my life. But I didn't know him then. He knocked on the door, and basically what he was doing is leafleting. And he seen that I was in and was painting this property, and he knocked on, and he said, oh, we just want to invite you to our church fellowship. And I'm like, well, what sort of church is it? And he goes, it's a Pentecostal church. Me hearing that now, I'm thinking, wow, I didn't know there was one down here. So I thought, let me question him some more. I said, do you clap? He goes, yeah, we clap. I said, do you dance? He goes, yeah, we dance. I said, is the music? He goes, yeah, there's music. I said, is the black people? He goes, you'll be the first. I thought, I can live with that. So I thought, I was really intrigued. I was intrigued. I'd never seen one of these about. So I thought, right, let's go. So Sunday came. I dressed up to the nines. I had a suit, tie, shirt ironed, creases down my trousers, shoes polished. You know how it is. Walked in. To my amazement, there were people like you. Sitting there. People in sandals. People in bare feet. People in shorts. People, I mean, just people dressed in like what I would not describe as church-going people to worship God. All right. And I'm like there thinking, what have I walked into? All right. Then the music started. Oh my gosh. All I could describe was, it was just this noise. People were clapping out. I can't even clap out of time. People were clapping out. They were doing this thing. Some of you will know when they said the Holy Ghost hop. The Holy Ghost hop went something like, it went something like this. Like you were doing the can-can. And they were doing that. They were doing it. I can't even tell you what song was being played because it was just this noise. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's going on here? You know, people just exuberant. And people coming up to me and giving me hugs. Hugging me. And I'm like, they really haven't seen black people. And I'm like, whoa. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm trying to escape. I'm trying to get closer and closer to the door. But the more I tried to get closer, people would hug me and drag me back in. And it was like, oh, gosh. And then it just all seemed to die down. It all seemed to die down. And then there was this guy on the keyboard, he started playing. This guy at the front started strumming his guitar. And then the most amazing thing happened. Amidst the chaos, amidst the noise, he started to sing. He is exalted. The King is exalted. On earth. Praise him. He is exalted. Forever exalted. And I will praise his name. Almost like a bolt. Shot down. Bang! Rooted to the spot. How God say, this is where I want you to be. And I'm going to teach you how to worship me. Want you to be, and I'm going to teach you how to worship me amidst the noise. What I thought was noise, but it was just them being exuberant in praise and worship and adoration. Amidst all of that, amidst me trying to escape, it was He is exalted. None of me, none of them, everything just stripped away. He is exalted, the King. Is exalted and high. In oneness, hands were raised. In oneness, voices were singing praise and adoration to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I stayed there for 13 years, worshipping, learning how to worship, learning about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we worship with obedient hearts and an open and repentant spirit, God is glorified. Christians are purified. The church is edified. And the lost are evangelized. I'm just going to say it again. When we worship with obedient hearts and an open and a repentant spirit, God is glorified. The church, Christians are purified. The church is edified. And the lost are evangelized. These are elements. These are all elements of true worship. And why we need to and are called to worship God. I'm just going to get the worship team up at this time. Another question for you. Where does Jesus fit into all of this? Where does he fit into all of this? Throughout David's life, you can read. Throughout David's life, he constantly worshipped the Lord. It's a trait we should follow. Dave Thompson spoke 2 weeks ago, Ezra Part 8, Privilege series. If you haven't listened to it, download it, listen to it. He said this, worship should be God-focused, ordered, extravagant, heartfelt, and to give God our very best. So he said, God focused, was focusing on him. Ordered, extravagant. Let's not be afraid to come to him with extravagant worship, extravagant praise, heartfelt, and to come with your very best. Part 4 of the Ezra series talked about Jesus in everything. Jesus in everything. They worshipped as they built the temple. They worshipped as they built. As we build at Grace Church, Chichester, Bognor, Midhurst, and wherever else God would have us build, let's be people that worship as we build. Why? Because Jesus is the center of it all. And it's all about him. Why do we bring our worship and praise to him? He's the center of it all. And everything that we do, because it's all about him. All about him. There's no better way to respond than to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand to our feet. I'm going to pray. Father God, we thank you that you are an amazing God, that you are worthy to be praised in everything, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's because of you that we have laughed and laughed to the full. It's because of you, Lord Jesus, that we have breath in our lungs. It's because of you, Lord Jesus, that we can come here this morning and pour out our hearts to you. Father God, and we pray that through all we go through the situations in life, that we'll never forget that you are the center of it all. And we will never forget to worship you in all circumstances of life. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that you're stirring hearts right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to respond to you in worship, in adoration, in praise, because of who you are and for what you do in our lives. Father God, be glorified. In your name, amen.